good to be in Lord's house tonight. It's good to be at Fellowship Baptist Church. And the honor tonight, I know Brother Arthur, I spoke to him just a little while ago. And I know that he is looking forward to being here. He's actually close, preaching in camp meeting, to my home. So I kind of know what he's preaching tomorrow night. And I said, what are you preaching? I wanted to know. And he told me, of course, that don't mean he told me the truth, but he told me. And then I got to thinking, Brother Joe tomorrow night, Brother Barton, and I had the privilege of preaching with both of those men. And I thought, my soul, I wonder who Brother Ennis tried to get that couldn't come. So he called me to come on Friday night. And then I got to drive into traffic. And y'all know how I am about this traffic every time I come down here. And hallelujah, wasn't as bad today. I came a little earlier, and only 10 people tried to kill me today instead of usually it's like 20 or 25. But I went by Bass Pro Shop, rented me a boat, got on Interstate 40, and came on this way. We've had rain at home. If you're in the country, we've had some frog strangler rain. You know what that means, right? Remember Andy Griffin, anyway. Just want to say what an honor it is, and I mean this. I told my wife, she's watching in by internet tonight, and I have a wedding tomorrow. I'm supposed to have a wedding rehearsal tonight. And some time ago when the young couple came to me and said, preacher, we want this date, I said, I can do the wedding, but I'm not going to cancel the Friday night that I'm going to be going to. And I told them why. And I said, I don't want that man to pray against me. I said, so if he asked me to do something, I'm going to do it. No, they were very gracious, and they understand. I don't know how many weddings I'm doing this year. You pray for me because the hardest wedding of my lifetime comes in August on the 25th when my daughter gets married to a boy across the Mason-Dixon. He is from Rochester, New York. How did I allow this? My daughter actually met him on the college golf team. She's now in school PGA pro, and she's a teaching pro in golf. And she met him in college and began to witness to him. Wasn't dating him, just witnessed to him. And on a Christmas break from school, he got down beside of his bed and asked the Lord to save him. He came back, and when he found out he wanted to date my daughter, he needed saving. And I had the privilege to baptize him. And they were part of our church. Now they're living about an hour or so away from us, hour and a half, or he is, and she's working about that far. But on the 25th of August, they'll be getting married. Somebody said, preacher, you going to give her away? And then the end of it, I'm going to look at him and say, Matthew, you may shake your bride's hand. Some of y'all just now getting that. Hey, that's great. The number 50 in the Bible has a lot of significance. Matter of fact, preacher, I was thinking about, and I was going to preach on this tonight, and the Lord just changed my heart. I told my wife, I said, pray for me. Every time I get around Brother Ennis, I get nervous. I feel like I'm around J. Harold Smith or something. I mean, it just, and I love Brother Smith. I did, man, what a man of God. But I love your pastor. I love being around him. I love his spirit. Even on the phone, he's encouraging. I mean, I just love his spirit. And 50 in the Bible, of course, jubilee for the people of God. A time of remembrance, right? 50 years. Remembering what God has done. Preacher, I don't know about you, but when you look back, your brother said he was 14. I was 4 when it started. And at least that somewhat makes you feel a little younger. But I think about a time of refreshing, a time of reflecting back, a time of rejoicing, a time of just realizing how good God's been.
Amen.
Just stand a moment. I know you're standing. I thought about, preacher, when I first began my first church, we had those little styrofoam altars in a community building. I had a homemade pulpit that I tucked under my arm. It folded, trifold, and you could take it in and open it up. We took square dance posters off the wall and put up Sunday school banner. Sunday school was a curtain in between where the food place was and where the sitting to eat the food was, and you could hear everything going on both sides. It didn't really matter. And I never realized that God one day would let me stand in the pulpit of Fellowship Baptist Church on its 50th anniversary. So I want to say what an honor that is tonight. Just an honor. 50 years. And Pastor, I want to thank you. And I'll say to every, listen, I've been doing this now 34 years myself. And I want to say this. You can walk in a church and tell when a pastor's got a heart for his church, but also when a church wants to do right. And I'm still this crowd that thinks a church ought to look like a church. And I love when it says Baptist on his sign. I'm still proud of that. Amen. And I just enjoy seeing ushers come up and looking like ushers and people greeting at doors, and we do all those things. Thank God for a godly heritage. Amen. Take your Bible tonight, Ephesians chapter number 3. You have to bear with me tonight. I haven't preached very many topical messages lately. I've been preaching for months through the Gospel of John. And I usually give our folks a little bit of a title of each section I'm in. And then I've been preaching through 2 Corinthians, finished up 1 Corinthians on Sunday nights, Wednesday nights. And I found out if you'll preach enough Bible, you'll finally deal with everything in your church eventually. And I like that. You know what's good about it? People can't say, well, you just chose that because you knew what I was going through. It was just the next verse, man, is all I can tell you. Amen. But I want tonight, for just a few moments in Ephesians 3, to look at verse number 14 and read a few verses. And I just want to preach a few moments tonight from this passage. The Bible says, "For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he grant you according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and the height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God." That ought to be our desire. "Now unto Him," and preacher, I thought about you in this verse, "now unto Him that is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto Him be glory in the church, by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen." You can be seated tonight. I want to say this tonight: to God be the glory. I tell people all the time, when God does something in our church or when we see something done, and we live in a day, if we're not careful, man wants to take all the glory. But friend, I just want to say to you tonight, to God be the glory for all that He has done. These 50 years, to God be the glory. What God has done in Fellowship Baptist, to God be the glory. For all that's been saved, to God be the glory. Friend, tonight, it's all about Him, and He deserves all the glory. Glory to Him. Amen. I want you to look in your Bible in verse number 15. I'm going to do a little bit of a topical message tonight. Just, I don't know why in the world. This is just what the Lord put on my heart. I thought I was at peace when I got to the hotel room, but when I was in there getting ready, the Lord just kept this on my heart. The Bible says, verse 15, "Of whom the whole family in heaven and earth His name." I want to preach a moment tonight on the subject of it's a family thing. It's a family thing. There are a lot of you here tonight that are here because of the influence of this man of God, or because of the influence of this church. As I've already heard tonight of men that are pastoring that were up here on the platform praying, and how this ministry influenced their life. I sat on the platform the other week at our church, and while our associate pastor and youth pastor were doing some things up at the podium, I sat there and I was looking across the congregation, and I began to think in my heart of all the people that I would have never met in my life if it had not been for Christ. You ever thought about that? You ever thought about it? The people you've got a chance to fellowship with, you've got a chance to meet down through the years. The people, listen, we would have never come in contact with each other, maybe never been around each other, never enjoyed each other's fellowship, if it had not been for what we have in Christ. Amen. You ever thought about the people God sent across your path?
That's right.
Preacher in 50 years, how many friends because of salvation? How many friends because of family? How many friends because we have been born again into the family of God? I thought about it. I walked in the building tonight and saw Brother Wes and saw different preachers that I know tonight. I would have never met these folk if it had not been for a relationship with Christ. See, it's a family thing. I come in here tonight, if you're saved, I don't want to disappoint you, but I'm part of your family. And I'd appreciate it if you'd put me in your will, leave me something. I had the privilege on the way down here to stop in Burlington and spend a little time with one of my brothers. And I'm 16 years younger than the next brother to me. They were all pretty much out of the house when I was born, and so I got a chance to spend several hours with him today, and I can't get this thing off my mind of church being family and the family of God being family, and all of us tonight that are saved are family, and I just can't get past that. Lord, I even got the thing, someone on the wave here brought me to tears. Even Joe Arthur's part of my family. I want, with the help of the Lord tonight, share a few things about family on this 50th anniversary of Fellowship Baptist Church. And Pastor, I am humbled, and I mean this wholeheartedly. I mean, Brother Joe and I were speaking about this. We just love you. We love your spirit. We love how you love us. Brother Joe said one of the greatest messages he ever heard in his life. He preached years ago at Taylorsville Camp Meeting. He said he never got over it. Said the name of the title of the message. How many of you folks thank God for a preacher that stood by the stuff?
Amen.
Hadn't changed a lick.
That's right.
Amen. It's a family thing. I want to give you three things tonight about family, and I'm going to be about another 20, 25 minutes, and I'm going to be done. You hold on now. If you act like you're not enjoying it, as I told some folks in Virginia last week, I'm going to go 15 more minutes just to aggravate you. Boy, everybody smiled. They seem like we're loving it. Minute, please don't do that to us. There are three things about family that I want to talk about tonight. First of all, and as we look at this passage, the Bible tells us of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. You know, Paul, all the churches, and I've been studying the churches at Corinth, and Paul has had a love for these churches. He was family to the Apostle Paul, and it ought to be family. Well, listen, some people you go to church with are as much family to you as your very own family that you have on this earth. Amen. I began to think about just three little simple things. First of all, there's a family record. A family record. The Bible tells us in the Word of God about this record. We would call this record in our day, we would call this record a birth certificate. When you were born, somebody somewhere put your foot or whatever, and I don't know, but anyway, there is a birth certificate that you were that you were born into this world. And I believe with all my heart that every one of us in the family of God have a birth certificate. I believe that without a shadow of a doubt. I want to say, first of all, when I think about this birth certificate, I think about the birth certificate and its signers. You know, when you're born, a doctor has to put that name in. He has to be the one, or she has to be the one that made mention, that said with their name that this child was born on this date at this time, and they had authority to do so. In 1 John 5:7, the Bible says, "For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one." You say, "Preacher, who signed your spiritual birth certificate?" The Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost signed my birth certificate. And they were there when it happened. I thought about this several months ago, and actually longer. I slipped out on a Sunday to go down. My mom is 93 years old this year and still lives alone. Finally, she doesn't drive anymore because, well, the world just needs to live a little longer. But anyway, she's 93 years old. And I was down on Mother's Day to visit her, not this last year, year before. And I took a Sunday off. I usually don't do that. And I just went down to one of her churches, the church I got saved in. And it's different than it was when I got saved. And they've changed a lot of things. And you know how that can happen. But anyway, still preaching the King James Bible. Thank God for that. And still winning souls. And anyway, I couldn't help it when I walked in that auditorium. I had to walk up the aisle. And I had to walk over the very spot that I was standing when God saved me. If you know anything about my testimony, it was halfway down the aisle. I never made it to the preacher. Halfway down the aisle, I said, "Lord, I don't want to go to hell." I asked him to save me. I didn't know about a Romans Road, Interstate 40, Highway 70, or nothing else. I just knew I didn't want to go to hell, and God saved me. He said, "Preacher, how do you know?" Because God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Ghost met me there. Got to have a family record. Amen. The birth certificate, not only in his signers, but there's a birth certificate and his signification. What I mean by that, Romans 8:16, the Bible says the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Amen. Praise God. When I got saved, I didn't like this crowd. I was 17, on journey going 18, had plans for my life. I wasn't ready for this. I wanted to get away from that church crowd. I couldn't wait to get out of the house and do my own thing. But thank God that night when I got saved, the Holy Ghost come to live inside of me. And I found out He lived inside of others and changed my life. And when He changed my life, all of a sudden, I became part of the family. Amen. Amen. So I want to say this, when you think about it, there is the birth certificate and its signers, the birth certificate and its signification. But I want you to watch this, the birth certificate and its services. You say, "Preacher, why do you need a birth certificate in our day?" Well, if you're going to go to another country, you got to have a passport. And if you got to have a passport, one of the things that they're going to want you to have is your birth certificate. I want to say this. I'm glad I get to go to another country. And I'm talking about another country. I'm talking about Abraham looked for a city whose builder and maker was God. I'm glad I'm going to another country. And you know how I'm going to get there? Not because I wear a suit. Not because I'm a preacher. But I'm getting there because my name's been recorded in the family record in heaven. And I'm going to heaven because the signed deal was done the day I got saved. Amen. I want you to understand tonight there is a family record. Tonight in this building, all of us that are saved by God's grace, no matter where we come from to celebrate this 50th anniversary, we're all part of the family. Second of all, there's family resemblance. The word Christian means to be Christ-like. The Bible says in the book of Acts chapter 4, "Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled and took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus." Amen. You know why we can get together? Some of us never met each other and smile and shake hands and pat one another on the back and have a wonderful time of fellowship. It's because, friend, we are in the family of God. And by the way, family has resemblance. Amen. I'm going to tell you the truth. Listen, some of y'all know. You might not want to look like your mama. You might not want to look like your daddy. My mama's got a long nose. I got a long nose. Listen, I'm telling you some of my brothers, Lord, I'm glad I don't look like them. Maybe they're on the other side of the family. But I'm telling you, there is that family resemblance. Paul said in Galatians, "For henceforth let no man trouble me, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus." Can I say this tonight? When we walk in this place tonight after 50 years, we ought to have some family resemblance. Guess what? You ought to look like me. And I should look like you when it comes to what God has put in us. Amen. I want you to understand tonight, family resemblance. I like when people see you somewhere and they say, "Are you a Christian? Are you a preacher?" or whatever. I just like that. You know? And sometimes they say, "Are you a gangster?" or whatever. But I just like when they see that. I've got a record just like you do. Not a prison one. I'm talking about what I'm preaching on. I've got a record. And that record says I'm a child of God. So tonight, in this place, Brother Ennis, I can preach in this pulpit as your brother in Christ. Because we have the same daddy. And we have the same family. And we're hallelujah, thank God for a family record.
Amen.
Brother Ennis, I'm even starting to look like you now too. This gray. My asked me the other day, he said, "Brother Hayes, you've got a lot grayer these years you've been preaching for us." I said, "Well, hallelujah, you get older, things happen. Yeah, you can't stay the same." Right? Like one lady looked at her husband and said, "You're going to love me when my hair turns gray." Huh? He said, "I might as well. I've loved you in three other colors." Say amen right there. Right? Y'all think I'm crazy. I do some weird stuff sometime. And I have one of my birthdays, and one of my young preachers thought he's being funny, and he put several things in a basket for me. And I'm not going to tell you all of them he put in the basket. I'm about to be getting older, but he put some hair color stuff in there. So I went home, and I did it. It was almost black. I walked in church on Sunday morning. I had people hand me a Vistra card. I come in the house of God. They didn't even know who I was, man. And it wasn't black, but it definitely wasn't this gray. And my wife said, "Don't you ever do that again." I said, "Baby, don't you think I look good?" She said, "No." Family resemblance. You know, I believe in our day, Christians ought to look like a Christian.
Amen.
I believe Christians, and I'm not just talking about in the clothing we wear, but in our life and the way we present ourselves.
Amen.
There's family resemblance. We ought to resemble our Lord. When it comes to this 50-year anniversary, I wonder how many of you look more like Christ and family today than you did when you came here. Wonder how much God's made you look more like the family. You ever heard somebody say this? Boy, the older they get, the more they look like so-and-so. Well, I got news for you. The older we get in Christ, the more we look like Him. I believe that. I believe every day. I'm talking about a family record. You got that record tonight. You remember that? When God the Father, Son, the Holy Ghost. You say, "Well, wasn't a lot of people around when it happened?" If them three were around in one, you're okay. Amen. As long as they were there, it's all right. But then that family resemblance. And then I want to get to this last point, because this is really what this week is somewhat about. I call the first one family record. I call the second family resemblance. And I call the third family reunion. Preacher, have you enjoyed hearing from people in 50 years? And man, I was in a hallelujah. I want to try to be like your brother now. Don't be emotional. I was in a meeting some time ago, and I might have shared this. It's been a couple years, so I don't know. I think I was here in 16. Then last year, I think I was sick or something happened, or I crashed a bicycle or something. I can't remember what it was. And but anyway, I remember I was in a meeting, and a lady came up to me in the meeting. She's several years younger than I was. You know, I guess probably maybe late 20s, early 30s, 30s, I would say. She came up to me and she said, "Brother Chris," she said, "you don't know me probably. You don't remember me." And I'll be honest with you, I didn't have any clue who she was. And I said, "No, ma'am." And I asked my wife, I said, "You know who she is?" And I was preaching in Burlington in North Carolina. And she said, "No, I don't know." And anyway, she said, "Well, let me tell you who I am." I said, "All right." She said, "The first time you met me, I was 16. She said, "You were preaching at Piedmont Baptist Church in Burlington in a revival meeting. And I walked in the door of that church that night, 16 years old, with child, expecting a baby, unmarried, life messed up." And she said, "You were preaching that night, and you don't remember this, but you walked down to me and you looked at me and shook my hand. You said, 'Jesus loves you, and so do I.'" She said, "What you didn't know, preacher, is that night after everything was done, I stuck around. And I asked the Lord to save me that night." And she said, "I was going into a convenience store in Burlington, and I saw your picture on a flyer on the window. And," she said, "so I wanted to come to this meeting and introduce you to my family." She had three kids and one in college that she was carrying at that time. She said, "My husband's got the flu, or he'd be here. I wanted him to meet you. But," she said, "I just came tonight," and she said, "I just wanted to thank you for telling me about Jesus." She said, "If we never see each other again down here, I just want you to know that I'm thankful." You know what I got to thinking about? How many people down through the years, we preached the Word of God. We've shared people the gospel. We've given them a gospel tract. We've witnessed to them on the street. And we might even know, but hallelujah, one day. Let me tell you a little bit about family reunions. And this is kind of what this is this week, you know. Just a little family reunion going on. At family reunions, you do three things. One thing you do is you reunite. Boy, what's it going to be like when the family gets home? You know, I've been, and I'm not a date setter. I don't care about all that. But you know, North and South Korea talking. Jerusalem now recognized the capital of Israel. Donald Trump's son-in-law, a Jew.
That's right.
Peace talks, economic talks. I mean, I don't know. But it gets me scratching my head sometime wondering what might be going on.
Amen.
I have no clue, but I do know this. It will not be long. I'll get to see my daddy again. It will not be long. I'll get to see that preacher that led me to Christ. It will not be long. I'll get to hug my papa and see my mama. It won't be long. I'll get to see those teenagers. I preached their funeral a few years ago that died and went to be with the Lord. Friend, homecoming is about reuniting with those that we haven't seen in a long. What a day that will be. I can't wait to see that crowd that don't believe in getting happy. Now, you know, I believe, I love balance in a ministry. I mean, listen, I can teach the Bible and people sit there and look at me and I'm good with that. I can have services where it runs deep and quiet and I'm okay with that, just as long as it don't run quiet and shallow. Or I can get in services where, praise God, it's spit, flying, running, hot. It don't bother me. As long as God's in it, I'm all for it. You say, "Well, preacher, I'm not for it." Don't worry about it. You're not me. You don't have to worry about it. I'll go one way. You go the other. We'll meet in glory one day, and I'll say, "I told you." But I like to be over in heaven. Follow me, Miss Cameron, whoever y'all. What are they doing that? They follow me, buddy, because my wife's are watching. I got to thinking about We forget to heaven before some of this crowd does. You know how people are. You know, well, I don't get excited about stuff. Now, you know, I understand sometimes we take emotion stuff too far. I agree, you know. I mean, I get real concerned with the only time people ever come up to you in church and say what an awesome service it was is when you don't get to preach. Mm-hmm. You mean none of that? Every time when you don't get to preach, they'll come by and say, that was one of the greatest services we've ever had. I'm going to be over in the corner somewhere hiding. That crowd, listen, they ain't going to come in and say, where's Mom and Daddy?
Yeah.
Isn't that great? Come here, well, there's Jesus. Right? I'm talking about reuniting.
Yes,
hallelujah. Hallelujah. P.R. Lakin's one of my heroes. Never met him in person. Listened about everything he preached. Laid on his grave and asked God to give me a little bit of that manna we had. I wanted that touch from that great man of God. I've never had a chance to shake his hand. But hallelujah, one day I will. And I'll get to be there with him. And when I get to heaven, what? That crowd's going to see Mama and they go, oh, Mama! Right. See Jesus, they're going to cry, holy, holy. I'm going to be over the corner and I'm going to jump out behind one of the angels and say, I told you you could enjoy it. Man, I got ready to walk up there. That'd be tough. Praise God. That's an altar right there, buddy. Family reunion. We're going to reunite. I believe we're also going to reflect.
That's right.
Man. Going to look back with family over all that God's done. Preacher, could you imagine? You. In your 30s when you began here, am I right? I'm just going young, 27. I knew we were talking, so 27. Do you ever dream? 27 years old, and now 50 years down the road. No, sir. Isn't it amazing what God can do? Did you go yet? Did you go yet? He ain't been yet? Oh, you're still dreaming. Preach, if you go preach, I'll drive you. I'm trying to finish my message here if you leave me alone. 50 years now, he's preaching our sermons. Amen. I believe with all my heart one day we're going to reunite and I believe we're going to reflect back on all that God has done for us. I was mowing my yard the other day and I stopped in the back of the yard. Just sat there on the lawnmower a minute and I couldn't even see where I was mowing, tears in my eyes. And I just began to reflect to where I was when God found me.
Amen.
What God's allowed me to do.
Amen.
How good he's been to me.
Amen.
And I'd have sat on it more. My neighbors would have thought I'm crazy. I'd have said tears running down my face thinking, Lord, I'm just reflecting a little. What a journey it's been. I wouldn't take nothing for this journey. Some people might listen, I don't regret one day getting saved. I don't regret one day surrendering to preach. There are days I regret being a pastor. Some days I like to be in evangelism again. But not many. Not many. To be honest with you, I love it. I'm starting to get now the generations that got saved little or they've been raised. Now they're raising their kids and I'm getting to be their pastor. You know, it's starting to come in circles. You know what I'm talking about, preacher. I ain't nothing like it, man. Nothing like it. Let me give this final thing about a family reunion. It's going to be reuniting and reflecting. There's going to be rejoicing.
Yes,
Lord. Is anybody in this building tonight got somebody in heaven you're just looking forward to seeing? Right? I was by my daddy's bedside when he took his last breath. I'm looking forward to seeing him again. Looking forward to seeing one of my brothers passed away. I was there. Sister-in-law, 40 years old, preached her funeral. Looking forward to seeing him. Listen, it's going to be wonderful to see Jesus. Lord, have mercy. If it's this good we haven't seen him, hallelujah, how good is it going to be? My soul. Lord, have mercy. See, tonight we're all part of the family of God. 50 years, the family's met, Fellowship Baptist Church. 50 years, this man has led the family. And I'm going to tell you something. I believe this with all my heart. I do not believe, and I say this without any reservation, I do not believe that God blesses ministries. I believe God blesses men.
Amen.
You know how I know that? God said to Joshua,
yeah,
as I was with Moses,
that's right. Yeah, that's right,
so shall I be with thee.
Amen.
I believe every man's put at a place. He ought to be put there with God's anointing and God's touch.
Amen.
And I believe God says, I'm going to put you here and I'm going to bless you if you'll follow me and do what I say.
Amen.
Amen. So I just want to say on your 50th anniversary, I'm glad I'm part of your family.
Amen.
I'm glad I'm part of the family of God.
Amen.
I'm so glad I'm a part.
Amen.